When Steven Spielberg needs guidance on storytelling, he turns to Robert McKee's Story. This masterclass in narrative craft has become the definitive text for screenwriters and storytellers across all media. The book's influence extends far beyond Hollywood. It's required reading at major film schools, referenced by novelists seeking to understand structure, and quoted by actors trying to grasp character motivation. McKee's principles have shaped blockbusters and indie darlings alike, with alumni of his famous story seminars, including over 60 Academy Award winners. What makes this book so powerful isn't just its technical precision, but its philosophical depth. McKee understands that stories aren't merely entertainment, but equipment for living, tools that help us make sense of our chaotic world. In a cultural landscape increasingly dominated by formulaic content, story stands as both a technical manual and a passionate defense of storytelling as our most essential art form. Stories are not just entertainment. They are equipment for living. They help us navigate life's complexities by revealing universal patterns in human experience. While Hollywood executives search for formulas and paradigms that guarantee box office success, true storytelling mastery comes from understanding timeless principles that transcend specific rules. The difference is crucial. Rules demand obedience to specific approaches, while principles illuminate what works across cultures and eras. Anxious writers follow rules, rebellious ones break them, but artists master the form itself. This mastery isn't about following rigid templates, but understanding archetypal patterns that resonate with global audiences. Archetypal stories reveal universal human experiences through unique cultural expressions. When Laura Esquivel's Like Water for Chocolate captivated worldwide audiences, it wasn't because it followed a Hollywood formula, but because it tapped into universal themes of forbidden love and family obligation through a distinctly Mexican lens. We don't seek escape from life through stories, we seek deeper engagement with it. Screenwriting appears deceptively simple, just dialogue and brief descriptions, but requires expressing maximum meaning in minimum words. The camera mercilessly exposes any falsity, magnifying weaknesses that novels might hide behind explanatory language. This unforgiving medium demands both technical precision and profound human insight. No one can predict commercial success in storytelling. Hollywood's biggest bombs were calculated as carefully as its hits, while unexpected dramas often succeed against all odds. The path to breaking in isn't by imitating last summer's hit, but by writing with surpassing quality. Excellence attracts agents, producers, and collaborators who recognize genuine talent. The most common mistake writers make is focusing on what they want to say rather than what audiences need to experience. When blinded by ideas they must prove or emotions they must express, writers fail to connect. Success comes when moved to touch the audience, to create an experience that satisfies both their vision and viewers' desires. True originality emerges from the confluence of content and form, distinctive subjects shaped through unique telling. The masters, Bergman, Truffaut, Foote, are distinguished by unmistakable styles reflecting their unique worldviews. Their formal choices, protagonists, rhythm, conflict, temporal arrangements, interact with content until all elements meld into a singular vision. A writer's story structure ultimately reveals their personal cosmology, their map of life's hidden order. Despite humanity's insatiable appetite for stories, the quality of storytelling is eroding. As traditional sources of wisdom fail us, we increasingly turn to entertainment not merely as escape, but as immersion in meaningful experience that helps us order chaos. Yet flawed storytelling increasingly substitutes spectacle for substance. Today's would-be writers often rush to create without first mastering their craft, mistaking accumulated viewing habits for technique. Unlike composers who study theory before attempting symphonies, screenwriters frequently rely solely on experience. But experience alone is insufficient. Self-knowledge through deep reflection is key. The industry's story department exists because story is paramount. Without it, beautiful dialogue and descriptions are wasted. Literary talent alone isn't enough. 75% of a writer's creative effort goes into designing story, creating characters, determining their desires, obstacles, and consequences. This demanding task requires maturity, insight, imagination, and analytical thought. Writers need two complementary powers: sensory perception, the ability to transport corporeal sensations to readers, and imagination, the power to transform impossibilities into certainties. These gifts must work in harmony. Alone, they are diminished. Additionally, writing demands two distinct talents: literary talent, transforming ordinary language into expressive form, and story talent, reshaping life into meaningful experience. Natural storytellers captivate audiences even with trivial material, while poor storytellers make profound subjects boring. Given the choice between trivial material brilliantly told versus profound material badly told, audiences invariably choose the former. Though story talent is primary and literary talent secondary, both are essential. Talent without craft is like fuel without an engine. Raw ability must be harnessed through disciplined storytelling technique. Facts alone are neutral, but "it actually happened" is the weakest excuse to include something in a story. Truth emerges from what we think about what happens. The same factual events yield different meanings depending on the storyteller's interpretation. The metaphorical relationship between story and life requires transformation of experience into meaningful patterns, not mere reproduction of reality. Structure is a selection of events from the character's life stories composed into a strategic sequence to arouse specific emotions and express a specific view of life. The writer must carefully choose which events to include and in what order, with the dual purpose of arousing audience emotion and expressing ideas. A story event creates meaningful change in a character's life, expressed through values and achieved through conflict. Values like alive-dead, love-hate, freedom-slavery are the soul of storytelling and can shift between positive and negative poles. For change to be meaningful, it must involve conflict rather than coincidence. A scene is an action through conflict in more or less continuous time and space that turns the value-charged condition of a character's life. Each scene must turn a value, from positive to negative or vice versa. McKee insists that no scene that doesn't turn should be the writer's ideal. Scenes that don't turn values are non-events that should be cut or have their exposition woven elsewhere. Plot is not a dirty word, but the internally consistent, interrelated pattern of events that move through time to shape and design a story. To plot means navigating through story terrain and choosing the correct path when confronted with branching possibilities. Even seemingly plotless films have exquisite plotting, especially difficult when the story arc takes place within the protagonist's mind. McKee presents a triangular map of storytelling possibilities with three corners: arch plot, classical design, mini plot, minimalism, and anti plot, anti structure. Arch plot represents timeless principles dating back to ancient epics, stories built around active protagonists struggling against external forces through continuous time to closed endings with absolute change. This classical approach dominates world cinema. Mini-plot compresses classical elements for simplicity while retaining audience satisfaction. Anti-plot deliberately contradicts traditional forms, often with extravagance and self-consciousness. Arch-plot delivers closed endings where all questions are answered and emotions satisfied. Mini-plot often leaves endings somewhat open. Most questions are answered, but some emotional residue remains. Arch-plot emphasizes external conflicts, while mini-plot highlights internal battles. Classical storytelling typically features a single protagonist at the heart of one dominant story, while mini-plot often splinters into multiple subplot-sized stories with separate protagonists. Minimalism and anti-structure aren't independent forms, but reactions to classical design. The masters understood this. Bergman, Fellini, Godard, and Altman all mastered classical form before venturing into minimalism or anti-structure. Writers must first understand arch plot deeply before attempting to bend or break these forms effectively. The modern audience has consumed tens of thousands of hours of stories, making originality increasingly difficult. The root cause of cliché is simple: writers who don't truly know their story's world. Without deep knowledge, they borrow from other works with similar settings, recycling scenes, dialogue, and characters we've seen before. A story's setting has four dimensions: period, place and time, duration, length through time, location, place and space, and level of conflict, position on the hierarchy of human struggles. This final dimension includes the social domain, whether conflicts are internal, interpersonal, institutional, environmental, or some combination. Within any fictional world, only certain events are possible or probable. Each story creates its own cosmology with internal laws that, once established, cannot be broken without violating audience trust. Even fantastical worlds demand tight-knit probabilities after their initial premise is accepted. There's no such thing as a portable story. An honest story exists in one specific place and time. The first step toward a well-told story is creating a small, knowable world. Though writers crave freedom, limitation doesn't inhibit creativity. It inspires it. Even seemingly grand fictional worlds are remarkably contained. War and Peace focuses on a handful of characters and their families. Dr. Strangelove uses just 3 sets and 8 principal characters despite its global stakes. Research is the key to winning the war on cliché, requiring 3 specific methods: memory, imagination, and fact. Memory involves mining personal experiences that touch on characters' lives. Imagination means envisioning characters' lives hour by hour, seeking hidden connections between fragments of experience. Factual research cures writer's block by feeding talent with ideas. Creativity means making choices of inclusion and exclusion. Fine writing demands inventing far more material than you can use, then selecting the best moments that are true to character and world. To avoid clichés, never trust so-called inspiration. It's often just the first idea from the top of your head, recycled from other works. Instead, sketch multiple versions of key scenes and choose the one truest to your characters and their world that hasn't been done before. The film genre system identifies patterns across stories by shared elements like subject, setting, role, event, and values. This extensive classification includes horror, with uncanny, supernatural, and super uncanny subgenres, modern epics pitting individuals against the state, westerns, war films, and various character-centered plots: maturation, redemption, punitive, testing, education, and disillusionment. Genre conventions sharply determine and limit a story's possibilities through specific settings, roles, events, and values that audiences expect to see fulfilled. Some genres have relatively simple conventions, like the disillusionment plot, requiring an initially optimistic protagonist who suffers negative turns leading to cynicism. Others have rigid, complex requirements. Crime stories demand early crimes, detective figures, clues, and resolution. Each writer owes an enormous debt to story traditions and must master their genre's conventions. Rather than assuming familiarity from watching films, one must study the form systematically, listing similar works, analyzing them element by element, and identifying patterns and conventions. This deep study allows writers to anticipate audience expectations. Genre conventions function as creative limitations that stimulate rather than stifle imagination. like Robert Frost's observation that writing free verse is playing tennis with the net down, these self-imposed constraints force writers to find innovative solutions. The challenge is maintaining convention while avoiding cliché. Genres frequently combine to create richness, resonance, and emotional variety. Examples include love story subplots in crime stories or the Fisher King's blend of five different genres. With over 24 principal genres available, the possibilities for innovative crossbreeding are endless. Genres evolve with society, functioning as windows on reality that must adapt to changing cultural views. When genres become inflexible, they petrify. The Western began as morality play set in a mythical Old West, but after Blazing Saddles exposed its fascist tendencies in the 1970s, the genre hibernated for 20 years before returning as quasi-social drama with films like Dances with Wolves and Unforgiven that corrected earlier racism and violence. Mastery of genre provides essential sustenance for the screenwriter's long journey. Quality screenplays demand months or even years of creative labor. Don't write for intellectual friends or critical praise. The only motivation that sustains through time is love of the work itself. The age-old debate of plot versus character is fundamentally flawed. Structure is character. Character is structure. They are the same thing, neither more important than the other. The confusion stems from misunderstanding the crucial difference between character and characterization. Characterization comprises all observable human qualities: age, sex, speech patterns, dress, occupation, education, personality traits, everything we could know by observing someone daily. But true character is revealed only through choices made under pressure. The greater the pressure, the deeper the revelation. When a person must choose one action over another while pursuing their desire, their essential nature is exposed. The revelation of true character in contrast or contradiction to characterization is fundamental to all fine storytelling. Life teaches that what seems is not what is. People are not what they appear to be. When characterization and true character match perfectly, roles become boring and predictable. Consider Rambo, who became one-dimensional after his first film, versus James Bond, whose playboy characterization repeatedly reveals a thinking man's hero underneath. The finest writing not only reveals true character, but arcs or changes that inner nature over the course of the telling. In The Verdict, Frank Galvin begins as a corrupt, self-destructive drunk, but transforms into a sober, ethical attorney through his choices during a challenging case. Similarly, Shakespeare's Hamlet moves from melancholy and confusion to peaceful maturity as his intelligence ripens into wisdom. Structure provides progressively building pressures that force characters into increasingly difficult dilemmas, requiring risk-taking choices that gradually reveal their true natures. Character brings the qualities necessary to convincingly act out these choices. Each character must be credible with the right proportions of traits that allow an audience to believe they could and would take such actions. Characters aren't human beings, but artistic metaphors for human nature. We relate to them as if real, but they're superior to reality, clearer and more knowable than actual people. Dimension means contradiction, either within deep character or between characterization and deep character. These contradictions must be consistent. The protagonist must be the most dimensional character to focus audience empathy. The protagonist creates the rest of the cast. All other characters exist primarily because of their relationship to the protagonist, helping delineate the dimensions of the protagonist's complex nature. Like a solar system, with the protagonist as sun, supporting characters orbit around, each drawing out different aspects of the protagonist's contradictory nature. The protagonist is typically a single character, but could be a duo, Thelma and Louise, trio, the Witches of Eastwick, or larger group forming a plural protagonist. A protagonist must be willful, even when seemingly passive. They must have a conscious desire, an object they knowingly seek, whether external, destroying the shark in Jaws, or internal, maturity in Big. The audience's emotional involvement depends on empathy, the vicarious link between viewer and protagonist. When we identify with a character's desires, we're actually rooting for our own desires in life. Empathy is absolute, while sympathy is optional. Writers often mistakenly create nice protagonists, but likability doesn't guarantee audience connection. Characters always take the minimum conservative action from their point of view. All of nature is fundamentally conservative. No organism expends more energy than necessary or takes unnecessary risks. What appears as extreme behavior to outside observers is, from the character's subjective perspective, the minimal necessary action. Story is born where subjective and objective realms touch. When a protagonist takes an action they believe will move them toward their desire, the world reacts differently or more powerfully than expected, creating a gap between expectation and reality. This gap forces the character to take a second, more difficult action that puts them at risk. The measure of a desire's value is directly proportional to the risk involved in pursuing it. If a protagonist risks nothing significant, the story isn't worth telling. The greater the value of what's desired, the greater the risk the character must take, with the ultimate values demanding risks to freedom, life, or soul. To create emotional truth, writers must work from inside their characters rather than observing from outside. The only reliable source of emotional truth is yourself. By asking, "If I were this character in these circumstances, what would I do?" and using Stanislavski's magic if, writers become improvisational actors for all their characters. The true substance of story isn't words, but the gap that splits open between what a human being expects to happen when he takes an action and what really does happen. This rift between expectation and result, probability and necessity, is what gives stories their power. The inciting incident is the first major event of storytelling and the primary cause for all that follows, setting in motion the other four elements: progressive complications, crisis, climax, and resolution. It must be a dynamic, fully developed event that radically upsets the balance of forces in the protagonist's life. This crucial event swings the protagonist's reality toward either positive or negative, compelling them to react and restore balance. The protagonist conceives an object of desire, something physical, situational, or attitudinal they believe will restore equilibrium. In complex characters, this conscious desire conflicts with an unconscious one, creating rich inner battles. The protagonist's desire forms the critical element McKee calls the spine, the deep desire and effort to restore life's balance. This primary unifying force holds all story elements together, with every scene, image, and word relating causally or thematically to this core. Despite the variety of genres and structures, McKee argues there's ultimately only one story, the quest. In this universal form, an event throws a character's life out of balance, arousing conscious or unconscious desire for what will restore balance, launching them against antagonistic forces. Progressive complications form the sweeping body of story spanning from inciting incident to the final crisis climax. To complicate progressively means generating escalating conflict as characters face greater forces of antagonism, creating a succession of events that pass points of no return. The protagonist begins with minimal, conservative action, but when this fails, the gap between expectation and result opens. Nothing moves forward in story except through conflict. Conflict is to storytelling what sound is to music. It carries us through time without awareness of its passage. When conflict disappears, so does audience engagement. The law of conflict reflects life's reality of perpetual struggle against scarcity, not enough food, love, justice, or time. Crisis represents the ultimate decision moment. The Chinese ideogram for crisis combines danger and opportunity. danger that the wrong choice loses everything, opportunity that the right one achieves desire. After exhausting all other possibilities through progressive complications, the protagonist reaches their last chance with no tomorrow. This obligatory scene places them face to face with the most powerful antagonistic forces in their existence. The story climax must be appropriate to the story's needs, whether catastrophic like the battle in Glory, or outwardly trivial like a wife leaving in Ordinary People. McKee emphasizes that the climax represents an absolute, irreversible value swing at maximum charge. The writer's great imaginative leap must be both inevitable and unexpected, giving the audience what it wants emotionally, but not in the way it expects. A scene is a story in miniature, an action through conflict that turns a character's value-charged condition. No matter its length or location, a scene unifies around desire, action, conflict, and change. Every scene should function as a turning point, minor, moderate, sequence climax, or major, act climax. Turning points create four essential effects: surprise, increased curiosity, insight, and new direction. When gaps open between expectation and result, the audience experiences shock, then curiosity about why, leading them to search through previous story information for answers. True dramatic choice comes in two forms: either choosing between irreconcilable goods, wanting both but forced to select one, or selecting the lesser of two evils, wanting neither but forced to pick one. How characters choose in these genuine dilemmas powerfully expresses their humanity and worldview. Text is the sensory surface: images, dialogue, sound. Subtext is the hidden life underneath: thoughts and feelings concealed by behavior. Nothing is what it seems. The screenwriter must create this simultaneous duality, veiling truth with living masks. Writing on the nose, where characters directly express their deepest thoughts and feelings, produces unactable scenes. Dialogue is not conversation. Real conversation meanders with awkward pauses and pointless repetition. But screen dialogue requires compression, direction, and purpose. It must sound natural while saying the maximum in the fewest possible words. The best advice for writing film dialogue? Don't. Always seek visual expression first. Image systems transform good stories into poetic works through enhanced expressivity. As audiences, we instinctively read symbolic meaning into every object on screen, adding connotation to denotation. To create poetic cinema, I must first exclude 90% of reality, narrowing imagery to objects with appropriate implications. Professional writers control their craft, access their talent consistently, improve over time, and make a living from their art. The key difference between success and struggle lies in opposing work methods: inside out versus outside in. Successful writers use a disciplined process, spending most of their time developing the story structure before writing actual scenes. They work extensively with step outlines on index cards, organizing their story by acts and scenes. McKee concludes with a fable about a millipede who, when asked how she coordinates her thousand legs, becomes self-conscious and falls in a tangled heap. But in Act Two, she carefully studies her movements until what once instinct becomes knowledge, allowing her to dance more brilliantly than ever before. The moral for writers: study craft thoroughly, but write boldly. Despite fear of rejection or failure, follow your quest for meaningful stories. With courage, skill, and imagination, your dance will dazzle the world.